5th, healing through the five contemplations. Buddhism also teaches the five contemplations that still the mind. The commentary on the Flower Adornment Sutra says, wholesome methods for curing illnesses are, for illnesses that arise out of the four elements of this world, herbal medicines are the cure. For mental afflictions, the 10 perfections and the 5 contemplations that still the mind are the cure. The 5 contemplations that still the mind are used to address 5 kinds of harmful mental afflictions. They are the contemplation of impurity. The contemplation of impurity is used to heal the mind of greed and lust. Sentient beings often confuse impurity with purity. A flower that appears beautiful may arise desire in some people, just as a handsome man or attractive woman may arouse passion in others. These sorts of reactions create all clinging and afflictions in the mind. The contemplation of impurity teaches us to see that the things we desire have another side to them. In addition to being beautiful, they can also be filthy and unclean. For example, a flower may appear attractive, but when you remember that it grows in dirt and its petals and leaves may hold many parasites and germs, you may no longer be attached to it. If you see a person who you think is very attractive, but visualize that his or her body is a rancid leather bag put together by many causes and conditions, realizing it is merely an unclean bundle of flesh and bones, then the mind will naturally be free from lust. The contemplation of loving kindness and compassion. The contemplation of loving kindness and compassion is used to heal the mind of anger. Some people often lose their temper for no reason and aggravate others. Some people feel no joy when they see others do good, yet feel spiteful when they notice someone doing something bad. Some people point out how much they dislike someone, some place, or even a time schedule. Still others think they are always right about everything, and others are always wrong. These kinds of people tend to argue a lot and are easily angered. Most people know that loving kindness and compassion are the core of Buddhism. Loving kindness and compassion remove the suffering of others while giving them joy. Any Buddhist teaching that departs from the spirit of loving kindness and compassion is nothing more than deceptive teaching. Loving kindness and compassion is Buddha nature and wisdom itself, and it means that our minds have a correct view of the importance of helping others. It is based upon benefiting other sentient beings selflessly and altruistically. Loving kindness and compassion is purified love. It is generosity that does not seek a reward. If you have a truly loving and compassionate mind, why would you cling to notions of what you like or dislike? Loving kindness and compassion are not confined to Buddhist practitioners. It is a gift that belongs to all sentient beings. When people are compassionate and loving, lives will be filled with meaning. In China, there is a saying, "A humane person has no enemies." If we capture this sensibility in Buddhist terms, it means that compassion and love have no adversaries and that they can overcome all problems. Loving kindness and compassion are virtues implemented through our actions and not a ruler to measure the worth of others. True love and compassion are not always expressed through pleasant praise and gentle encouragement. Sometimes, great love and compassion have a more difficult and noble manifestation and uses its diamond-like toughness to destroy demons. The contemplation of causes and conditions. The contemplation of causes and conditions is used to heal the mind of ignorance. Some people believe the self and everything in this world either exists or does not exist. This is ignorance based on clinging to a one-sided view of reality. People who contend that there is nothing after death are ignorant because they cling to a type of nihilism. People who believe they will be reborn as humans after they die are ignorant because they cling to the idea of eternity. Some people believe Buddhist practice must be very austere and involve depriving oneself of food and sleep. They are ignorant because they cling to extreme asceticism. Others think Buddhist practice should always be completely joyful. And these people are ignorant because they cling to the feeling of joy. The common problem is clinging to one's ignorant beliefs, which can be overcome by using the contemplation of causes and conditions, since ignorance exists essentially due to a failure to understand the truth. What is the truth? All things arise due to causes and conditions. The Buddha's explanation of the three time periods and the 12 links of dependent origination teaches us how to understand the interconnectedness of the past, present, and future. There is nothing in this world that arises alone or stands alone, for each thing depends on many causes and conditions. For example, a building consists of a steel framework, cement, and wood, and it depends on human labor for its construction. A building is formed by many causes and conditions. In the same way, a single grain of rice is the result of many causes and conditions, such as the original seedling, the rice paddy, sunlight, water, and the farmer who planted, irrigated, and tended to the rice. From the contemplation of causes and conditions, we learn that all things in the universe are the conditions on which our lives are based. All things in the universe have led to our birth and development. They are wholesome causes and conditions that have supported us, so we must always show our gratitude by being kind to all people. If we can truly understand the profound and wondrous causes and conditions that underlie all beings, we will transform ignorance into wisdom. The contemplation of the Buddha. The contemplation of the Buddha is used to overcome karmic obstruction due to bad karma generated by unwholesome actions, speech, and intentions in former lives. Some people experience many difficulties in life. Nothing they do seems to go right. When they try to make money, someone always swindles them. When they try to do good things, someone always slanders them. When they go out, they often get into accidents or trouble somehow. Indeed, no matter what they do, they tend to suffer from resentment and criticism. The contemplation of the Buddha can cure such problems of karmic obstruction. This contemplation asks us first to reflect on the emptiness and non-action of the Buddha's Dharmakaya, using it to combat the karmic obstacles that arise due to pressures around us. Second, this contemplation may also be used to consider the many virtues of the Buddha's Sambhogakaya, as the mental states produced by this tend to lessen the negative karmic obstructions that arise within the mind. Lastly, this contemplation may be used to consider the noble and radiant features of the Buddha's Nirmanakaya, as the mental states produced by this tend to lessen the negative karmic obstructions of sloth and pessimism. The contemplation of counting the breath. The contemplation of breathing is used to heal confusion and anxiety. Our thoughts are everywhere. One moment they are in heaven, the next they are in hell. Our minds constantly fly between wholesome and unwholesome thoughts and back again. The contemplation of breathing can cure a confused and chaotic mind. The contemplation of breathing is a practice that entails counting each inhale and exhale to allow the confused mind to settle.